like went down in your head.
Consider rock and roll. Now, music is an integral part of the soul of humanity. It is something that is within us, bubbles up, has been a part of life since cavemen were beaten on rocks. Music is the very fabric of the universe that we exist in, the vibration which manifests into our third dimensional reality. Skymatics, it is called. So music is something that is absolutely going to be with humans until there are no more humans. We can't help it. It's just a part of us and a part of our soul. So it should not be surprising that those that want to control humans would use music against them. Now consider some of the old stories of, say, Mozart and his divine essence in his music and how inspired he was at such a young age, child prodigy and all. Now he came out with the magic flute and it was this very music that got him in trouble. It seemed that the magic flute gave away too much of the insider knowledge to these occultic orders, the secret societies with which he belonged. And he gave away too much of the clues inside of the magic flute. And next thing you know, he mysteriously dies. Many blame the magic flute on this. Consider Beethoven and Beethoven's Fifth, which has encoded in it the Morse code for V. Da-da-da-da. Yeah. V. So, music has always been used in conjunction with the occult and also in conjunction with the soul speaking. So, as we start to look into rock and roll and how this all came to be, and we start to understand how this can be used against us. So now consider where rock and roll began, back with the story of Robert Johnson and the blues. Robert Johnson went down and he met with the devil at the crossroads, and when he returned, he had sold his soul and could play the guitar like no other anyone had ever seen. Now, of course, it was fitting a coincidence that Britney's first movie was called The Crossroads, or that she checked into Eric Clapton's Crossroads clinic before going out and shaving off all her hair. But hey, that's just coincidence. Let's move on. All right, so let's look at rock and roll. Now, I myself was, well, my bedroom was a shrine to Ozzy Osbourne, Kiss, and Iron Maiden. Okay, I was a metalhead from the very beginning. They called me Iron Man in my punk rock group in high school because I was a heavy metaler in a punk rock group. My punk rock group's name was Morning Sickness, and that's M-O-U-R-N-I-N-G. Yeah. Well, lots of stories to tell about Morning Sickness, but that's not the point of today's discussion. So, let's consider some of this. Now, we've got Kiss out there, and they've been reputed to be knights in Satan's service. And, of course, as a kid, I never believed any of that. I was like, ah, you got to be kidding me. But the more as I grew older and started to understand the nefarious nature of our music industry, I started to agree with that statement. So let's consider the British Invasion. Now, here come the Beatles. All right, the beetle is representative of the scarab. The Beatles come over here in their British invasion, and they start to separate the children from their families. Now, this is the first plank in a Marxist takeover, and this is the way to win a war without ever firing a shot. And I know many people that are fans of all the music I'm going to discuss are going to be upset with what I'm saying, and, well, deal with it. Because there was no such thing as Beatlemania. That was all just propaganda. All of that was set up just to lead the children astray. And so when they came off that jet and it appeared like there were just thousands of fans standing there just going crazy, well, that was all just make-believe. Hollywood madness. Illusion. The Beatlemania, if you want to look at it that way, was more a setup that came in. And what happened was that the Beatles were used by the Illuminati, by these elite forces, by the Queen of England, to separate children from the family. And they did so by creating a new mindset and having the children wanting to have long hair. Now, me personally, of course, I have nothing to say against long hair, of course. And also, if any Christian has something to say against long hair, they better look again at their lovely Jesus there. But you see what happens is we slowly get chained into these mindsets. And so what was okay in the past is not okay now. And long hair, well, in Rome, they used to say, yeah, cut your hair and act like a Roman. That's what they'd tell the Christians. And if you realize that short hair was used by the Romans because they were warriors, and long hair isn't very good for warriors, you know. So, yeah, long hair was placed into the mindsets of the children. Now, of course, we look at the Beatles today and we say, well, you know, they were mop tops. Yeah, they didn't really have long hair like the hippies, right? But it was enough. That was enough at the time, because at that time people had been so regulated and propagandized into this perfect human, which was really a Roman, that they couldn't accept this hair. And so then here are all the children coming out with their mop tops, and the parents are freaking out. And of course, this causes a schism between the parents and children, and the children rebel. So then the children are set free, set loose to be taken over by the state. And the British invasion begins without a shot ever being fired. And it went right through into the Rolling Stones. And if you look at the Beatles album, Sgt. Pepper's, you will see a number of faces on there. And one that was missing at the time was Hitler, who they did have set up for the picture, but pulled him out at the last second. Or if you look up into the left corner up there, you'll see the gazing eyes and face of Aleister Crowley. Now, I'm beginning to realize that a great many of you don't understand who Aleister Crowley is. And that's really a topic for a whole nother show, but let's just consider a little bit about what Aleister Crowley is. Now, he was military intelligence for the British. He was the highest occultic wizard out there. And he was known by his own name as the Beast, or 666. He would really freak out the norms. He was the earliest rock star there was, and he used to throw massive orgies, and I think this might have a lot to do with what leads people into the OTO. I could be wrong about that. Really, I'm not too sure why everybody loves old Uncle Aleister so much. Because, you know, I don't trust these higher elitists. And, you know, Aleister Crowley wrote many works of magic. He channeled an extraterrestrial named Awas, who gave him the Book of the Law, which is housed here on the UT campus. He's most likely the grandfather of our president, father of Barbara Bush. Yeah, check it out. Go to freemantv.com. Just watch the pieces fall together. And within his magic, it's admitted that he has set up traps in his spells. And I've even noticed where his secret name, Purdu Abu, is encoded as one of the god names. And so therefore, he has everybody worshiping him as a god. So Aleister Crowley was lead occultist, went up through every rank of Freemasonry, and then on to revive the Golden Dawn, create the AA, the Silver Star, the Order of the Silver Star, and the Ordo Templi Orientis, which he was leader of for quite some time and brought it into some new heights, and that is the Order of the Eastern Templars. Now, Aleister Crowley was known to be used in rituals that were involved with things such as the Philadelphia Experiment. His son tells a story of how he was used in the ritual to create a portal to open space-time for the Philadelphia Experiment. Aleister Crowley was known to sacrifice children in the writings of his works. Some compare this to actual masturbation as opposed to the real sacrifice of children. And certainly, Aleister Crowley sparked much controversy. So now here's Aleister Crowley on the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, and the album begins with, "It was 40 years ago today, Sgt. Pepper taught the band to play." Well, this album came out 40 years after the death of Aleister Crowley. So it's very intriguing how this all works out. Then you go to the Rolling Stones, and they too being followers of Aleister Crowley, and you find on the cover of their album their love of Aleister is encoded in there. I lost the picture. I was looking for it. Suffice it to say that, you know, their album named On Her Majesty's Satanic Request should give you some clues as to their origins and why they came over in the British invasion. And this goes on. Now, we've got Led Zeppelin, and Led Zeppelin has been known to have found a book. No, I'm sorry, that's Black Sabbath. We'll get to them. Led Zeppelin, Jimmy Page is a follower of Aleister Crowley to the point that he actually moved into Aleister Crowley's home on the Loch Ness. And yes, we're back to sea monsters once again. He no longer lives at Aleister Crowley's house, so he has moved on. But it is known that Jimmy Page has the largest collection of Aleister Crowley's works, and probably the next largest collections here on the UT campus. Just like Penn of Penn & Teller has the largest known satanic library. These are the people that are in our entertainment field. Sammy Davis Jr., member of the Church of Satan. Elvis, absolutely just... You know, Elvis was in contact with pan-dimensional beings, beings of light, and he was being heralded over by his handler, who was Colonel Tom, and, you know, asked people to go out and kill for him. Had a Jesus complex, and many extraterrestrial connections. Aleister Crowley is absolutely the most influential person in the 20th and 21st century right now. He is so ingrained in our music and all of the things that we hear, and we don't even realize it. And like I say, many of you don't even know who he is. So look into him. You'll find that David Bowie is a member, a Crowleyite. And of course, he was another one that stepped out with the long hair and sings about Major Tom. Oh, this thing just gets deep. So what is it that they're programming into us? Let's consider this. Have a little listen to this Beatles song, and let's talk about it when it's done.
Well, I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. You better keep your head, little girl, I won't know where I am. You better run for with another man, that's the end, little girl. Well, you know that I'm a wicked guy, and I was born with a jealous mind, and I can't spend my whole life trying just to make you toe the line. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man. With another man, that's the end, little girl. I'd rather see you dead, little girl, than to be with another man. You better keep your head, little girl, or you won't know where I am. You better run for your life if you can, little girl. Hide your head in the sand, little girl. Catch you with another man.
Yeah, boy, don't they make murder sound beautiful. It's amazing how these things get programmed into us, and it goes straight to your unconscious and just resides there to be called up. It's very powerful. If you realize that many of the musicians out there say that they're not really sure where their music comes from, or when they're on the stage, they say it's as if they're possessed and that they're channeling this information. You know, you could channel high and you could channel low. That's all I gotta say. And if you're putting forth messages like this, then I would say you're channeling pretty low. There's all kinds of conspiracies about the Beatles, even to the point that Paul was replaced. Paul McCartney sings a song about the Mull of Kintyre. Now realize that the Kintyre is the descendants of Tyre, or the king of Tyre, who was the one who Zechariah Sitchin states went off planet and came back with Hiram Abiff, who became the first master mason of Freemasonry. David Icke lists the island, the Mull of Kintyre, as one of the highest satanic ritual spots on the planet. And Paul McCartney sings a song all about how he loves going to the Mull of Kintyre. Just something to consider. So, if you realize how the nefarious and these evil overlords of ours are, then you'll recognize how they use good for bad. And so back in the 60s, everybody was uniting against the Vietnam War, and there was a large force gathering against the government. And now they couldn't have this, but they couldn't come down and just tell you not to do that, because that would only make you more adamant. You know, the whole Kent State fiasco and whatnot would have only sparked a revolution, and they weren't ready for us to kill each other just yet. So they went in. And you listen to me well here, because this is their tactics. They went in and they said, well, wait a minute. You know, yeah, this Vietnam thing is important, but aren't women's rights important as well? And all the women went, yeah, we deserve to vote. We deserve the same rights as men. And so then they went to the blacks and they said, hey, you know, what about blacks' rights? Haven't you been servants of the man long enough? And they said, yeah, you know, you're right. And the Black Panthers were formed. They went in and separated this united force using good ideas, using good concepts. Yeah, women deserve rights. Yeah, blacks deserve rights. Yeah, poor people shouldn't be enslaved. And they got everybody to start fighting amongst themselves. So all of a sudden, this unified force was split up into many factions and no longer this powerful force ready to overthrow the government. So hark those words well. Now let's move forward a little bit and consider some of the newest forms of rock and roll as they came into being. Now, certainly the kings of rock and roll are Kiss. Right, there's just no doubt about it. These guys own everything. They are the true gods of rock and roll, the gods of thunder. Now, let's just have a look at the members of Kiss. Now, first of all, we've got Paul Stanley, who is really named Stanley Eisen. And actually, both Gene and Paul are Jewish. Just to throw that out there. And our connections with Kabbalism. And if you look at Paul, the lead singer, he is the Dionysus. He is the one Bacchus. He is Baal. He is the Lord. This is why he has the pentagram on his eye and is a hermaphrodite. And that's why he wears the red lipstick. Yes, Paul is Dionysus. And then you move over to Ace Frehley, who's really known as Paul Frehley, and he is... what? The extraterrestrial, the ancient astronaut. And when he was replaced by what? The Egyptian, of course, Vinnie Vincent, who wore the ankh on his face. And then we move into the familiar, the cat god, Bast, who was the drummer, Peter Chris Kula, known as Peter Chris. And then finally, all of them overlorded by the fire-breathing, blood-drinking dragon lord, the Draconian, and you start to get the picture. Now, it's said of Gene Simmons that he has this power over women, that every woman that comes near him has to have sex with him. Well, they are trained in these techniques, folks. I've talked with OTO members that are trained in such patterns to be able to use psychology and what we know of as mind control. So yeah, I'm not surprised at all that Gene has power over women. He is fully trained in mind control. Now, all of their songs, now here I was at, what, say, 10 years old. You know, I was actually even did a lip sync concert of Kiss at a church once, never realizing that the very song we were singing was all about rape. And it was called I Stole Your Love. Yeah. And if you start to recognize that every single song by Kiss is about sex, then you'll start to realize the programming going on here. Now, here at 10 years old, I had no idea what I was singing. I didn't know what any of this meant. I was just was in tune with the music. And we'll find that the nefarious intelligence agencies are actually using ultra-low frequency technology to send vibrations into us to make us have particular emotional responses to the music. And, yeah, Kiss is right up there on the list, top of the list. And we move on now and get to, start to look at the extraterrestrial connections with the P-Funk and the Parliament. Now, I personally have a little personal story about the Parliament and the P-Funk. One day I was at, where was it? You know, I think it might have been Bethel, New York, where they had Woodstock, and recognize that Bethel is a Hebrew name. It means House of the Lord, and that's where Woodstock occurred. And there was a festival going on, and one of the bands there was Parliament Funkadelic. Now, George Clinton, which should be a pretty obvious connection to some of our political figures, was not the singer that time. It was another singer known as Grady, and he substitutes when George Clinton's on a crack binge somewhere. So, before the concert, Grady walked up to my glass stand, and I happened to notice that he had a big old eye in a pyramid hanging around his neck on a gold chain with a G suspended below it. And he wears a purple shroud and this bling on stage. I looked up at him and I said, "Well, you're a Prince Hall Mason, aren't you?" And he says, "Yeah. Who are you?" I shocked him a little bit, you know, knowledge will shock people often. And I said, "Well, I'm Freeman." And he says, "Well, good name. You know where I could get some bud?" I'm like, "Come on, brother, you had a festival. Go find some. I don't ever have any drugs on me or drugs of my own." So I had to send him away. But, yeah. Curious that. And if you start to recognize that old George Clinton and then there's Sun Ra, who is also another one that says that he's an extraterrestrial. And of course you'll see that he dresses up in ancient Egyptian costumes and has connections with the extraterrestrials of the ancient past and sings all about that connection and the use of electronics for mind control. Very curious. So these festivals, these musical, what to call them, you know, this emanization, emanizing the eschaton. I wish I knew how to say that. You know, a lot of times when I read words, it's hard for me to formulate them into actual words. But I don't think that old Robert Anton Wilson was that far off when he was putting the end of the world at this concert, where the AMA was the lead stars. At that point, then the Nazis come up from a Submariner world and start slaughtering everybody. Yeah, I don't think that's that far from the truth. Because now let's look at some of these touring bands, especially the Grateful Dead. Now, they were not always known as the Grateful Dead, and actually as they were a band forming, they got this introduced to a member who didn't actually seem to know much about how to play music. So they added a musician to the band that, well, I'm talking about the bass player, Phil Lesh. And well, Phil had no idea how to play the bass when he joined the Grateful Dead. Imagine that. And when Phil did join the band, they became what was known as the Warlocks. Wizards, magicians. And the Warlocks went on to be a part of the CIA's acid trip, and they went on to the acid Kool-Aid parties. And traveled around in the further bus, and this whole crazy movement began. I was once invited onto the further bus, but my friends weren't willing to go, so I didn't go. And it was rumored that Leary was in the back of the bus that year, and, well, that was just before he died. Would have been an interesting thing. I should have just left my friends behind. Well, I'm not that kind of guy. So, I have been on these Dead tours, and I have witnessed what the Grateful Dead are doing. And recognize that this title, The Grateful Dead, comes from the Egyptian Book of the Dead, and it's all about welcoming the dead into your home. The Grateful Dead are the Pied Pipers, whether they like it or not. Now, you know, it may be that it is Jerry Garcia, you know, Jerry Garcia. This is very possible, but I absolutely, definitely don't trust old Mr. Phil because of, well, I'll get to that story in just a second. I've been prompting you guys for my story about Phil Lesh forever, haven't I? What they do is they are the Pied Pipers that take the people that are ready not to be a part of this system, that are ready to experience life today instead of putting it off when they got their retirement and can't enjoy life like they are now. These are the live people, the spirits that are awake and aware and just want to be free. These are the creative children that just weren't ready to be caged, and they get led into this menagerie of just doom and they don't even know it. Because the Grateful Dead, the dead lots, are just inundated with drugs. Drugs from every sort get brought there, and these kids get turned on to them. And you better know these drugs are coming from the CIA. I mean, I've talked with people. I know where they, you know, I've talked to different people that tell me these things. And these things are being brought into this show, and you know, things like Oxycontin, which is the only pharmaceutical to have its own federal drug task force. This stuff I have seen more people drop dead on than any drug I've seen out there. And heroin and DMT and cocaine and pot and just anything and everything you can think of is out there. And these alive, beautiful children of the world are just brought down into the pits of hell. And this is one of the reasons I prefer the Rainbow to the Grateful Dead. Their hyper-capitalism, their, you know, this over drug use. I'm telling you right now, guys, if you're going to the gathering for a festival or a party, you're going to the wrong place, because that's not what it's about. And you know, it's just not there. It's not happening like this. It's not a Grateful Dead lot. It is a gathering of humans, and I always want to stress that. So then all these kids are fed all these drugs, and they get put into their cars, and then the Pied Pipers, the Grateful Dead, lead them on down their road, and you better believe that every federal agency knows exactly which highway you're traveling on, where you're going to be, and when you're going to be there. And so then they just pick you off along the way, right? And whoever they've determined, and, you know, God, Bonnaroo, well, we'll get to Fish in a second, but man, if you realized how much surveillance you were under on one of these things, you would be frightened. So then you get a ticket in some state that you're most likely never going to return to. And, of course, then this ends up being a warrant for your arrest, which you feel like, well, you know, I'm never going to be back in that state, so what do I have to worry about? But next year, they're announcing the national ID card, and at that point, we go to a unified system. And so all these great spirits of light, all these aware and alive children, even if they have been abused by these drugs, are going to simply vanish. And it's just going to be a nice silent eradication. Because they're all going to end up in jails and prisons all over the U.S. because they've got little warrants here and there all over the nation. I don't know many deadheads that don't have warrants. And it's set up to be that way. So, yeah, even if the dead weren't willing participants, they absolutely are. And I would have to say that at least a few of them are willing participants. Now, let's consider the day Phil Lesh took me to a Mason temple and tried to kill me. I was on the dead tour, and I was never a deadhead. Once again, I really never did like the dead, but I love people, and I love alive spirits and children of light. And so I ended up there eventually. This was years and years later on my travels. At first, I avoided them like the plague. But eventually, I befriended a great many of them, and so became part of the tribe, part of the family. And this tribe is what they emulate, and that's what people are looking for, is a tribal reality. And so they found it within this collection of the Grateful Dead, or the collection of the fish fans, or in any method that the Illuminati can emulate a tribe. I mean, good God, even Walmart's trying to make you think that you're a part of a tribe. You know what I'm saying? So it is this tribal mentality that people are actually seeking, and are know that that's the natural state of humanity. And it also provides this protection and this shield of love that you know you've got your tribe around you. Now, all of us are isolated in our little buildings, and so we don't sense this type of peace. But you will find it out at Rainbow. So I'm on the tour, and I don't typically go to the shows. I hang out in the lot and just stay with all the people and enjoy the company of this tribe. But at one place somewhere, at some time, Phil Lesh announced that they were moving the concert from the arena it was supposed to be at and moving it into the Masonic temple that was there in town. Now, I found this quite curious, and so I went and bought me a ticket. I love to get any opportunity I can to see a Mason temple. Check out the insides. And it didn't surprise me. His place was covered in phoenixes and satans and all kinds of strange symbolism all over the place. And if you've ever been to the Fox Theater, you'll find all the same kind of symbolism, where Satan's even staring at you over the urinals in there. Crazy stuff. And well, you know, I haven't mentioned this, and I know I'm, you know, going on a tangent here, but if you look at Fox, and Fox actually equals 666 in American, in English. F is the sixth letter, O is the 15th letter, and X is the 24th letter, and so you end up with 666 once you add that all together. So there's the meaning of Fox. So now, here comes Phil Lesh into this Mason temple. I go up to buy my ticket, and here's the lady behind the bar selling the tickets, and you know, being the curious sort that I am, I asked her, so do the Masons still worship here? And she says, oh yeah, definitely. But you see, the Masons, they can't get government grants because they're a religious institution. And I thought, curious that. Now, I know that they promote themselves to not be a religion. And on top of that, in their works, they do state they are a religion, but in the front propaganda, they'll tell you, no, we're not a religion. So very curious that she would say that they were a religious institution and couldn't get government grants, considering that there are, at least 29 Masonic symbols on a dollar bill? Very curious. So this community center had managed to buy the temple and then through their government grants and then rented out to the Freemasons that Phil Lesh was now bringing all his fans to, so that the Masons could make just a little bit more money, right? Like they need it. Yeah, so we go in, and this place isn't big enough for the concert. There's just no way. It's friggin' impossible. The concert was at an arena and moved to a Mason temple, and so this place was overcapacitated by hundreds. They were wall-to-wall stinky hippies inside, me being one of them. And I walked through this crowd, and I couldn't breathe. I mean, there was barely any oxygen in the air, and I'm working my way through trying to find a spot where maybe there's some air conditioning, but there was none. No AC in the building whatsoever. And so all of a sudden, in this stagnant air, I feel this little breeze blow against the fur on my cheek. And I'm like, oh, where is that? And I make my way through the crowd, and I find an open window. Now, there's no air outside either. It is one hot, just still day. And so I sat there on the windowsill, just getting what oxygen I could from there. A little frightened for my own life, because the oxygen in the room was quickly dissipating. Well, so I had to go over, and there were the little masons, the old men sitting there with their little cart filled with water bottles, and they weren't even a full-size water bottle, but the little ones, the smallest water bottle you could sell, and they're asking me for $3, and I gave over to them because, well, I was going to die. So I took my water bottle over to the window, and I dumped a good portion of it over my head to try to revive myself, because I was feeling quite dizzy, and I drank down the rest. Well, the concert began, and next thing I see, some people are just falling over, as I figured they would, and so I grabbed them and I brought them over to the window and started fanning them back into awareness. I asked somebody to hold on to this person so that they wouldn't fall out the window, and I went and I gave the masons in the corner another $3 for a bottle of water, which I poured over this poor soul's head. They began to come around, and I sat them down next to the window just as the next person's body fell and hit the floor. So I went over and I picked him up, and I brought him over to the window and sat him down and poured some more of my $3 bottle over his head. Sat him next to the other. Well, this went on like this for most of the concert, and at one point an amazing event occurred, and I was sitting there on the window and had my arm hanging out the window, just letting the breeze cool me. You know, it's a good spot, these arms and legs, to gather coolness. And I felt a hand grab my hand, and so I pulled. And I yanked up one of my dear friends right into the window. And, I mean, of all the odds of whoever that could have been, it was one of my closest friends. And I'll tell you folks right here and now that I cannot go anywhere in this country without running into somebody I know, because I have been traveling just that long. And here is my dear friend, and he wanted to get into the concert, and I had pulled him right into the window, and I gave him a big old hug and pushed him into the crowd, so that they couldn't find him. Well, the alarms went off and the alert went out, and all of a sudden there was all the security coming to the base of the window, and they're yelling at me, hey, you gotta close that window. And I said, the hell I am. I'm saving people's lives right here, and there's no way in hell I'm shutting this window. You get some air conditioning in here and I'll consider it. Oh, no, you got people climbing in the window. And I said, hey, one person climbed in this window, and you're already overcapacitated, so I think you made your money. We're leaving the window open. And they were like, oh, well, we're sending somebody up there. And sure enough, they did. And here comes a guard, and he walks up to me, and he says, I'm closing this window. And I said, do you see these people on the floor? I am saving their lives with this window. I am sparing you a lawsuit. So you don't dare close that window. And sure as hell, he did. I looked at him and said, no, sir, I'm sorry, I'm not going to allow you to do that. And I opened that window again, and I dared him to shut it. Eventually, he walked away. So, next body drops, and I'm like, God, I just don't have another $3 to hand over to these damn masons as they're killing off all these poor hippies. So I go into the restroom to try and fill up my bottle of water, and there's nothing but scalding hot water coming out of the sinks. Think they planned that so that they could get their money? So that us hippies wouldn't just go in there and fill up our water bottles? Do you think they cared more about their $3 than they did about all those lives? I think so. So I went over to the ladies' room just to make sure, and sure enough, there was nothing but scalding, and I'm talking super hot water coming out of those faucets. And I growled inside. The evil nature of these people. You know, this is money over the tribe. And they might as well have given blankets with smallpox. So, there you have it, folks. Conspiracy? Yeah, absolutely. This was all a funding of the Freemasons through Phil Lesh and through the suffering of these good children. And that's what it is, and that's what it'll always be. So when you go off to Bonnaroo and you find all these federal agents giving you drugs for you to sell and to pass out and to use, then rethink what the situation is, because I'll tell you what, that concert's going on military land, and that symbol that Bonnaroo is flying is the penis that Aleister Crowley has shown you, and it is no surprise that Trey Anastasio's first music was all about the lizard people, and if you listen closely, he'll tell you about the Freemasons as well. It's disheartening, people, but you gotta understand what it is, and this is an emulation of a tribe. They understand the very heartbeat of the world and the heartbeat of humanity, and they are using it against you. So they have created these tribes to pull you away so that we won't form them in our own neighborhoods and our own lives, and so that they keep control of us. They have used these methods to lead you astray. They have used them to separate you from your children. They have used them to get you under a martial law. They have used them to give them the ability to take you away in the very near future. That is what this music is. And if you start to look deeper, you'll find that there's the occult origins of the whole thing. And you'll find that Tool, all right? Tool, of course, is the penis. Back to the phallus worship. And I know that the Tool heads are even more dedicated than the dead heads. And boy, do they get mad if you talk about them. But let's take it from their own words themselves. Because the drummer of Tool wrote out in his blog that he was practicing the Enochian names of the watchtowers. And that he was using a very strict regimen of not using any imagination as he was trying to pronounce these names perfectly, so that Maynard, who I'm certain is a Freemason, could pronounce these names properly in the music. And they are using Kabbalism and these Enochian ritual magics to even formulate the very beats and melodies within their music. And this drummer of Tool states that as he was pronouncing these names and trying to get them correct without using his imagination, still managed to incarnate a number of these beings that frightened him to death. You go check out his blog yourself. And yet he brought these words to Maynard so that they could incorporate them into their music. You wonder why Tool fans are so diehard? Well, that's because they're using this occultism against you. I'm not kidding, folks. This is what it is. So, it gets just deeper and deeper. And you'll find that Black Sabbath had received this ancient magical books that had led them into their knowledge and gave them the very music that they play. And that when it frightened them so, they went to get rid of this book and it had vanished. Yeah. Or if we let's not leave Rastafarianism out of this mix either, because I'll tell you straight up, right there in the Bob Marley anthology, it will tell you that Haile Selassie was an Egyptian Freemason, and that Rastafarianism is nothing more than the outbreak of Egyptian Freemasonry. That's straight from the Bob Marley anthology. Now, once again, you know, I'm not saying that all Masons are bad. I'm saying they're clueless. I'm saying they don't know the magic that they're practicing, and that this music can be used for nefarious means. Certainly, there is wonderful, beautiful, spiritual music out there, and certainly there are groups that have made it to the top that are not part of this nefarious plan. But when you start to see these interlinking connections with all the Grammy winners being Mouseketeers or else being Baal and Ishtar, Prince and Madonna, then you start to get the nefarious nature of this whole thing. Well, music is always going to be an integral part of being human. It's right there in our souls, and it's going to come out of us no matter what we do. So recognize that they are using this against you, and recognize that we don't recognize. And so You know, all these diehard fans that are going, oh, I don't know, I don't agree, and oh, I want to just keep listening to my rock and roll. Well, that's just fine. You know, that's just fine. But start to become aware of what you're listening to and realize it's programming into your unconscious. And you might just sit around listening to the Beatles singing about murdering their girlfriends and be just all happy-go-lucky about it, you know, or Prince singing about his father abusing him and just, yeah, you know, just loving it. Isn't it great? Or Christina Aguilera singing all about how she wants to get some money to have some sex. Yeah, you gotta give me something if you're gonna get with this. You know, all the little subtle programmings. And, you know, if you don't know MTV is evil by now, then, well, you better start looking. And we just gotta become aware of these things being used against us. We gotta become aware that civilization is not the outcome of human endeavor. It is a program that has been an agenda that's been set up and moving forward, and it's being used against us. And we use this music to identify with because it gives us the sense of the tribe, the sense of a human society, and that is what they are usurping. And that is the true nature of my message to you today, that together we are unity and they are derision. They will continue to divide us using things that speak to our souls, and we just need to be aware, awake, and alive. So this will be my last radio broadcast before I hit the woods and go join the Wondrous Tribe. It's been an amazing time this week. I did a lot of interviews, and it's just been wonderful to get the word out. I hope you all are waking up to this reality, and I hope you realize the sheer enormity of this agenda and start to just look within to find what is truly human instead of looking without to what they are programming into us.
Satan represents the powers of force in nature, and we feel that a cleansing of the idiot ideology of the pallid, incompetent Christ is in order. And so this is something that the Church of Satan is conducting on many different avenues. We're doing this through the use of what we have called aesthetic terrorism. This involves the creative use of art, music, writing, effectively what we call propaganda, the dissemination of information to influence what we call iron youth.
Just keep this in mind. They're playing our CDs when you're not home. They're playing my tapes in your own car, in the tape deck. And I'm influencing your children.
If you wanna be with me, baby, there's a price to pay. I'm a genie in a bottle. You gotta rub me the right way.
September day that Papa worked too hard. First he crucified every dandelion out in the yard. Then he screamed at baby twice for throwing rocks at passing cars. Baby didn't listen, so like a priceless work of art, he got snatched by his papa, who then opened up the closet door. Push the four-year-old down onto the closet floor. Baby cried, I'm sorry, I won't do it no more. yeah, I know. That's what this is for. Papa, smack, smack. Ooh, papa, papa, smack. Ooh, papa, smack, smack. Ooh, papa, papa. As the door closes, baby starts to cry. Without a reason why. Papa just went outside and pointed a shotgun up in the sky. He said, "How come I don't love my woman?" Then he took aim and died. Boom! Papa. Children, or else they turn out like me.
Let me just ask you this. When is the last time you saw someone dancing in the streets, singing with joy? For that matter, when's the last time you saw a child out in the front yard singing and playing? Let's start to look at what our world is and why it is the way it is. And I would love to see more of you out there singing and dancing in the streets. So until I get back, upon my return, you all have a beautiful, wonderful life. And start to expect the positive and believe and promote. Because that's the only thing that's going to matter. Oh.